society is how it treats its women and girls. It's women and girls.
We create
the smart, powerful, creative, accomplished young women.
We can fight.
I'm here because of you. I'm here because girls like you inspire me. Many of these girls have faced unthinkable obstacles just to attend school. Any society is how it treats its women and girls.
Clutch your pearls and hide your children. It's another episode of Surly Voices here on WMNF Tampa 88.5. I am one of your hosts, Liz. My co-host, Donna, is in the studio. And today we have a guest host. Her name is Rhonda Flowers. She is from the Skill Center. How are you, Rhonda?
I am fabulous. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So tell us a little bit about the Skill Center.
So the Skill Center is a youth development organization. We serve youth through sports, and we work with children to help them succeed academically and in life.
Awesome. You might want to get a little bit closer to your mic when you talk. This is the first time Rhonda's been on air, so she just needs a little coaching and she'll be ready to go. So what kind of projects are you involved in right now with the Skill Center?
So right now I am working with Randy to bring podcasting to our students so that they can learn all of the ins and outs of creating a podcast or a newscast. So that they can have their voices heard and so that they can also learn some transferable skills that could lead them into a new direction in terms of their career path and their in succeeding in their dreams.
Awesome. Yeah, and Randy's our general manager, and she is so awesome. Oh, my gosh. I was telling her the other day, I'm like, I never even saw the other managers. You're the first one that actually even introduced themselves. So Randy's very much about being involved in the community and helping out. And we just went to the MLK parade the other day, and oh, my gosh, that was a long parade route. I got to say that, number one. But I walked for about an hour because I come from Louisiana where there's parades all the time, you know, and so it's like everybody rides in something, you know, get your tractors out and get a flatbed trailer and pull everybody in your crew, you know. And so it's like there was Randy's truck and walking. And so I'm like, so I made it about a mile. And so I'm like, okay, I know my limitations. I'm getting on the struggle bus. So I got on the back of the truck. And then Amina was, you know, Amina's a lot younger than I am and a lot more physically fit, I'm sure. She made it almost to the end. But then she got on the struggle bus. And I'm like, Yeah. But we had a great time. It was so much fun and so many folks out there lining the whole parade route. So it was really fun and we had a great time. So today we're talking about a mixed bag of things. If you want to call in, give us a call at 813-239-9663. You can email to dj@wmnf.org, or you can text to 813-433-0885. Our guest host today is Rhonda Flowers with the Skill Center, and she's actually volunteered to read the emails, and I was so happy about that because I did not bring my glasses. So, Rhonda, what age of kids do you work with?
So we work, we can start as early as 3, going all the way up to the ages of 24.
Mm-hmm.
So it just really depends. We have a sports arm of the organization where we do a lot of training And through that arm, we're able to bring the kids in and hook them through the sports to help them develop academically, social skills, life skills, and use those transferable skills that they learn in sports in life. So in life, in the classroom, if they're young adults, in the workplace. So we really strive to make sure that we have some well-rounded youth who are ready to enter the world with everything that they need to succeed.
Awesome. How old are your podcast kids?
So this is like fresh and very brand new. Just had the meeting today with Randy. Those students will be middle to high school students.
Oh, okay. Awesome. Yeah. So let's see. Is this only for like kids in Hillsborough, in Tampa? What is your geographic location?
In Hillsborough County.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Awesome. All right. So now we're going to get on to the trash talking part of the show.
I'm just here for emails. I'm excited to be your email reader today. This will be fun, and it's an opportunity for me to experience what we will have the kids experience with Randy and what we're working on, too. So this will be fun.
Awesome. So for those of you who don't know, Surly Feminists for the Revolution are an intersectional feminist group, and Surly Voices is our radio extension of that. We also have a podcast. In case you missed the show, you can catch it on any iPod or podcast platform. And so occasionally we express opinions that some of you might disagree with. In fact, often we express opinions like that. And so we try to always give the Surly disclaimer up top. The opinions expressed on Surly Voices are those of Surly Feminists for the Revolution and not necessarily those of WMNF.org or anybody affiliated with WMNF. So, now, the trash talking. All right. My first thing, Donna, is Justin Garcia deserves a Pulitzer Prize. Agree?
Agree.
Yeah. He has just blown all kinds of stuff wide open. He got the video about Golf Cart Mary that was it was viral. He's written a story about Jane Castor. Jane Castor is a bit at odds with the city council.
Shocker.
Yeah, what a surprise, mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
And so that was in the latest edition of Creative Loafing.
So let me just, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, so let me just say this. There are a lot of people in this town. I hope none of you are listening. Actually, I hope you are.
Yeah, I hope you are listening.
That there's a lot of nonprofit money in a city like Tampa. There are a lot of people, a lot of the people in my community, from my marginalized community, who sit up under Jane Castor for these kibbles from her table. And they support her, even though she is selling those same people they purport to help mm-hmm. up the river.
Right.
This is why my policy is no new friends.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't do new friends in the city of Tampa because I don't know a lot of the people who claim to be in the line of business of being a helper that I'm in are actually helping themselves. So that's one of my axes to grind. Number two is that they have blocked us, BLM, in the past from getting money from people like Colin Kaepernick. Oh, yes. And so these people can't mind their business. They stand in the way of actual work to help people who are on the margins of a gentrifying city. In a gentrifying city, we don't just have people that are being displaced. We have people that are going homeless.
Right.
So yes to Justin Garcia being a genius of a journalist. And I'm glad that Ray Roa, if that's who is still over at Creative Loafing, has cut him loose to do what he will in this city. Because nobody, for a little while, Jim Blyer, who's a little abrasive, he was saying some things mm-hmm. that I thought needed to be said. also saying some unnecessary stuff that alienated some people. Like, I have never done that.
We do that just by breathing.
But we, because you know why? And let me say this. You know why? Because we don't sit at the foot of that table. That is not from whence we get our, how do you say daily bread in French? You all know the phrase.
I would say pain du monde.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So because we do not derive our livelihoods from this space, we don't have to play those games. And here we are in the studio trashing them.
Weekly. Yes. Yes.
Love it.
So, and for those of you who don't know about the Tampa City Council and the mayor relationship, Tampa has what's called a strong mayor model. And that's where the mayor wields a lot of power over administrative decisions of the city, and the council is supposedly there for checks and balances, although that doesn't work out very often. No. And so one of the weaknesses or one of the cons of a strong mayor model is that it leaves the mayor susceptible to special interest groups.
Oh, yeah, for that too.
Like developers.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And you know what? Every time in every city that I've ever seen, when it has been decided by whomever gods there may be, and I mean gods of this earth, that it's time for a city. The city has grown enough for it to be parted out to the wealthy. There is usually a mayor that is a part of a marginalized group. They did it with Michael Hancock in Denver. I was in Denver when this happened. That now they're going to a gay woman. That's their black gay woman. Like, you can't get more minority than that. Yeah. Right? Like, in our intersectional grid, you know, the next level out there to the margins is trans. And so they use people who are leaders in marginalized groups to do their dirt to the very people. This individual that's now coming up for Denver mayor actually gave away equity in cannabis to the corporations.
Yeah.
That's their pick for that's their next anointed for mayor in the city of Denver.
Oh my God.
And Denver is rich beyond belief.
Right.
Rich beyond belief.
Well, you look around Tampa, okay, the way that development has just gone amok in Tampa. You can't even see in some parts of downtown, you can't even it's like shade on the street because the sunlight can't get through because of all the development.
Right.
And here come people wanting to develop more stuff. And they get mad when they don't get to develop it, so they sue the city.
I want to go back to Justin Garcia for a moment. You guys realize this is a young, emerging journalist of wild popularity, and you do realize that he probably won't stay here.
I hope he does, because we need him. We need folks like him who will you know, tell the truth, speak out, speak up, and
you know
shame the devil.
And you know what they do to people like that.
They run them out.
Right.
Yes. Okay. Thank you for raining on my parade there, Donna.
Yeah. Kissing your Cheerios.
Let's talk to DeAndre. I hope he's not on the road. Hey, DeAndre.
Hey, I'm on the road.
You're always on the road. Okay.
Yeah. Good morning. I'm glad to hear about the Martin Luther King parade. I remember we were talking about this last year, and like, I remember going, I think, before the pandemic, and I just felt like it was really pitiful, kind of. And I was like, man, like, you know, I've seen parades. I've been seeing them all my life. We were talking about the guy Perilla and the problems there with that, but I'm glad to hear that was more robust. I saw that they were going from one end to the other. I was like, that's a long route.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yeah. My feet and, said it was long for sure. Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I called because there's something that's been like messing with my head for a while, and it has to do with districting. And then corporations coming in and making decisions about real estate. And, like, there's something that had passed. And I was hoping you could remind me or point me to, like, any articles on this so I could sharpen up on this matter. because basically Tallahassee determined that in 2011, that corporations basically and companies and builders could come in and make any decisions they want somehow through some legislation up there that I forget what it was, how it worked. The most I know is there was also something done in like Washington or Oregon, and I think Rick Scott followed suit. And you know, with him, he's got something to do with it. There's something slimy going on. But yeah, I was hoping somebody could remind me what that was and like the best articles out there on the topic.
And Donna's probably the better resource for that, but I'm not surprised to hear Rick Scott and Slimy in the same sentence ever. I mean, they kind of go together.
You must remember, I lived in Colorado when all the white vans came up to the Columbia Hospital in the south of the city and took all of their computers and papers. It was Rick Scott who was fraudulently oversaw an operation where he had knowledge that Columbia, one of the big health care provider conglomerates in Colorado, they were fraudulently billing the government, mostly through Medicare.
Well, that's something, because Rick Scott did the same thing, did he not?
That's Rick Scott.
Yeah.
Right, because he mentioned Rick Scott.
Oh, okay.
But specifically, tell me your question again, because I got lost in there.
I do that to people. I'm sorry. So basically, there was some legislation that made its way up into Tallahassee back in 2011
okay.
that stuck, where counties and municipality districting groups could no longer decide through, like, by way of like bringing it up to the people and having votes. They could no longer decide on how
referendum
land and real estate would be dealt with, and basically also they changed the name of a department for future development and planning, a planning department.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's like something Florida, but at any rate, no longer do the citizens have the ear of their voted officials when it comes to deciding on changes.
Okay, so let me jump in there because you're losing me again. So what I heard was you're talking about, that's called preemption. It's before people can decide to do a thing, the state passes legislation that preempts the ability to do so. One such instance is with flavored tobaccos and cigars. So I've been working for over a year to try to stop flavored cigars, flavored tobacco oils, and flavored cigar and cigar wraps for these kids, right? They're in the bathrooms. They're having to put detectors in. Then you got kids that come up with an acute respiratory distress syndrome, not to be confused with the one that accompanies. Well, it's a condition that's separate from COVID, right? And it's a very serious illness. It lands a lot of people in the ICU. The only kids that are surviving this are the ones that are younger. If you're like 26, this kills you, right? Mm. From vaping oils. So we're trying to stop it, and we cannot pass city ordinances to stop the vendors in these marginalized communities. They literally target this population, already struggling without health care, substandard health care, no Medicaid expansion in Florida, and yet the state has protected the small business owner and blocked advocates from being able to pass ordinances to stop the sale of these very dangerous products. And so what you'll find is that the reason why no organizing money is coming into Florida right now is because the governor and his goons have sat down and preempted all of those major issues, including ones that don't exist, like marginalizing trans kids for absolutely no discernible reason. Like,
right.
It's not a thing. So the preemption tactic is what you're discussing. And that's not just when it comes to developers and real estate. It's a fiber that runs through a lot of the things that we'd like to work on in Tampa. So, you know, as an organizer, I find myself working in Minneapolis. I find myself working in Houston and D.C. I mean, I'm in Minneapolis I'm in Minnesota half the year. Georgia, I work in Georgia a lot. Money comes into those states because there's an opportunity, you know, but there's almost a supermajority of Republicans right now in the state legislature, right? Mm-hmm. We can't get anything done.
Can't get anything
Everybody
done,
that's up there is up there for fun.
Right.
to get to make the state nice and white again.
Yes, everything's going to be all white in the end. I saw that on TV the other day and I've saved it.
DeAndre, thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, so we're doing a mixed bag today, but we're talking about primarily Jane Castor trying to smack down on the city council about. All right, this is what brought the issue to a head.
Okay,
city council wants to put a bunch of things into place, like a citizen review board,
right?
And also to have more say in the selection of the major folks, like chief of police,
right?
Which, as you recall, people were very much against her ever appointing Golf Cart Mary. She insisted on it. She did it, and look what happened.
And let me be clear about a couple things, right?
Okay.
When it comes to this, nobody ever said that. Okay, so there are a lot of people who say, oh, Dawn, I thought you're an abolitionist. And you're saying that the Golf Cart Mary was criminal. I said, listen. We cannot have a situation where someone who is responsible for holding the highest mantle, holding that, that's the difference. Now, the difference is it's not just me. It's the person, or you. It's the person that's holding the highest mantle of civilian behavior, ascends to be the top cop in a city where you have killed people for less.
Yeah.
Makes no sense to me. So, you know, Andrew Joseph was 14 years old. He never committed a crime.
Nope.
Ever. He lost his life and his parents lost theirs. So when you talk about, she just did a thing and we believe in forgiveness. Yes.
Yeah, no.
But
not
like,
for that. No.
It's like Hamilton couldn't be the president after the Reynolds paper.
Right.
One less thing to worry about. And she should never have been a candidate to hold the standard, to be the standard bearer.
Right. Not to mention biking while black. I mean, she had her little hands in that too.
Especially after Jane Castor presided over biking while black as the police chief.
Yes.
Give me a break. Why don't you? So, I mean, I just have no tolerance for the double standard and how the impact of corrupt policing on marginalized communities, and police investigating themselves, qualified immunity, the entire host roster of issues of modern policing. And then you bring us someone that you guys have deemed in the past wasn't worthy of allowing that person to live.
Mm-hmm.
You beat people. You've knocked down doors. You've murdered people. You have accused children of being gang affiliated, dropped them off in the middle of nowhere where they couldn't make it back home. I just, that person should not be doing these things. Mary should not have been where she was, and Jane Castor should not have deigned to put her there.
Right. And instead of telling the council that, hey, no, I don't agree that there should be charter amendments.
Right.
I think y'all just need to sit down and be quiet.
Right.
She put an op-ed in the Tampa Bay Times talking about why we shouldn't, you know, have charter amendments and blah, 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 blah. And so it's like, wait, you're not even going to tell the people up front? You're just going to put it, what you're, oh, I know. She's looking to call support from her Tampa Bay Times readers, apparently.
Well, I'm going to say, I want to say something about Tampa Bay Times, but I'm not today. Not today.
I
want to disabuse readers of another notion, civilian review board. Now, I was one of the organizers on the first round of that, right? Which was sold up the river by some of your local organizers who wished to run for office. But that's another day. Because, you know, I've been inside of all of these spaces, and so I know. And so the civilian review board was supposed to do this, guys. When the civilian review board would allow civilians to review cases that were deemed problematic or someone had kind of pulled the bell on, right? Mm-hmm. The civilian review board proposed by the city was one that could not review open cases. If you can't review an open... Right.
What's the point?
There is no point. The point is to go through pageantry, pomp and circumstance, and not actually look into the issue and actually have any impact on the outcomes. So this, after a thing has happened, and after someone has been brutalized or falsely arrested or mishandled in the process of being pulled over under false guises, like all of these cases, even killed, there would be no way for the city council to have subpoena power that would allow them to review cases until they were closed.
Wow.
And so what we were protesting for downtown was a civilian board with the word that we use was with teeth.
Teeth,
right?
Yeah.
So now if you had known me 7 years ago, you'd have probably found me on the corner wearing a Tooth Fairy costume, clacking these dentures, right? For the news cameras, because it are holding a picture of a toothless buckhorn,
right,
that we were holding up. So I've been all down those roads, and I learned very well early on the dangers of a strong mayor model. Also, that flies in the face of what people fought for in the history of this country. I mean, they were racist, so don't at me, please. I know they were racist. Walt Disney was racist too, so go Google that. Leave me alone. it flies in the face of democracy. If people can't have their say, and if the people can't put their eyes on the behavior of the actions of their government, then there are no checks and balances. And that's why this thing with the city council, the city administration is a runaway train.
Right. Rhonda, do you want to read an email from Nick?
Sure. So Nick has said, LOL, stop normalizing old white meat. We are Caucasians. Haha. Love y'all women. Keep up the good work.
The real key is that Mike is probably white.
Nick. Now I remember that. He's white meat. Remember when that was the Charlie Crist reference?
Yes. Stop normalizing it. Thank you, Nick.
All right. What you want to read some more, Rhonda? Because they're coming in fast.
I love it.
Charles, we call it, all right, he says preemption, nope.
Right? Thank you.
We call it here in Palmetto, Florida, mandates from Tally, most other known as unfunded mandates from Tally. See, this is why I can't read, because I'm too far away and I don't have my glasses. So you get the next one then. Because that's way too small for me to see.
Which one?
The one from 863.
The big paragraph here?
Yes.
You guys are great. Because of so much fraud by the rich and powerful, especially in the medical industry, Medicare, Medicaid has become zero tolerance.
Mm-hmm.
I loaned my in-laws a small amount, $25,000, to help them go in and start a small pharmacy that supplied assisted living homes. They bought out an existing pharmacy. The seller stayed on for 6 months to help. It grew fast, and in a short time, it had millions to come in and bills to match with moderate profits. After the point of the sale, the seller forgot to change the tax ID. Ended up going to court in Tallahassee. And all that end result, Medicare, Medicaid said, thank you for your service. We choose to rule against you and not pay because legally we do not have to.
Yeah.
Everything was legit, but mistakes were made. Pharmacy certainly closed. I lost my loan, not my investment loan. I do not believe a lot of this was because of rampant large-scale fraud by large corporations. Never got my money. I'm still kind of angry. Have a great day, you guys.
Dang, that's horrible. But yeah, Medicare and Medicaid do not play.
Right. Because of that.
Right.
But guess what? Rick Scott went on to become the governor of Florida. Right? These people lost their pants. Twice.
Frank's like, whoa.
From the booth over here. He says, TL's out twice. So, I mean, in the end, you know, the little guy doesn't prevail. I'll give you an example of how business is done in Florida. So, if a car... You know, this might have happened to someone I know,
mm-hmm.
is totaled. And the value of the car is $17,000, right? Earnest U.S. dollars. The cost of the repairs, $8,000. The adjuster decides to total the car.
What? Why?
Because they can. So they total car, and this car won't have a salvage title because the cost of the repairs did not exceed the value of the car.
Right.
So now if you're leasing this car, you lose your aggregate. You get nothing. You walk away with no car.
Oh, my gosh.
You have to put down another down payment. Now, this individual happened to have another car.
Yeah.
Right? So the pain, not there. So basically, as they were paying off their other car, this car totals. And so now they don't have any car payment at all, which is like kind of a win if you have two car payments. And then when the next month you have none. So that's a win, right?
Right.
In this economy. But the leasing company that leased the car can say one of two things. Give us $10,000 and that settles us up on this vehicle, right? That's the investment that we wanted to recoup on this vehicle. And then they could give the person who just dumped all their money into this vehicle mm-hmm. with no chance of owning it, right? Or have lost the chance of owning it. They can give that person back $6,000 earnest dollars. But they won't. They'll collect the entire $17,000, $1,000 of that being the deductible of the car lessee. Oh, yeah, it could get rough. And Geico now jacks up the rate of the individual because it was an at-fault accident.
Dang.
This is one of the few states where that's the standard. And that's the difference between a place like Florida and a place like, say, Vermont.
Wow.
We got a lot of problems.
But the weather's so much better. Well, yeah, it's like, it's tempting to leave, but then where do you go? And what about all the people that are still here?
But that was the promise of this nation, right? Supposedly. I mean, they were racist, so don't at me. I'm saying that there's a disclaimer after everything. Yeah, I know they were racist, right? And Alexander Hamilton, for all of you who enjoyed the play over the last 2 weeks, he actually helped slaves. Google that. So he was not really an abolitionist, but we thank Lin Miranda's imagination.
Yes.
Okay. So moving right along, and just for a little context on that, it was Elizabeth Schuyler's father, Philip Schuyler. He was loaded. Remember, the man was loaded?
Yes.
He was loaded because he was a slaver. And when Eliza married Alexander Hamilton, this is in Alex Turnell's book. You guys read the book because if you really want history, that was a great play. It was genius, but it was entertainment.
Yes.
Actually, when he was seeking to marry her because he wanted to be rich.
Sure.
Right? Well, he married her, but the money came from slaves. And so she was not able to own property until like 1870 something. Wasn't able to own property until like 1780. It was like shortly after. So it was like she wasn't able to own her father's slaves. So then if she inherited slaves, who owned the slaves? Who owned the property? Alexander Hamilton owned the property because Eliza Hamilton couldn't own property as a woman. When she inherited those slaves. So those slaves went to Alexander Hamilton. You're welcome. So, where were we? We have any more emails? I'm going to stop.
We have, let's see, I think Charles sent us another one. Old white guy with great hair tending his juvenile urban farm.
Sounds like the onion. these colors, man.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate what you do. Thank you for giving us that good laugh. So you're listening to Surly Voices on WMNF Tampa 88.5. Give us a call, 813-239-9663. You can email us at dj@wmnf.org, or you can text to 813-433-0885. And so one of the things, before we leave the Tampa City Council and,
yes,
and the mayor's race, let's again remind the listeners about who is looking to jump in the city council race.
Oh, yeah.
None other than Jane Castor's mother-in-law. No. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Jane Castor's mother-in-law, Janet Cruz. who I saw, she was at the MLK parade the other day, and I'm like, boo, you're bad, you're horrible. Because, yeah, I mean, she was holding a Senate seat and lost it to a Republican.
And then said, okay, I'll take that one.
Yeah. So there used to be an old joke a long, long, long time ago. I'm sure some of our listeners have heard it. It was, where does an 800-pound gorilla sit?
Do you know? I don't know.
Anywhere he wants to.
Who's gonna check me, huh? That's the word on the street. Who's gonna check me, huh?
So yeah, I mean that's what it is.
Right.
I mean, you're gonna come with your senatorial weight.
Right.
And your name recognition, quote unquote name recognition. I don't know what you know, and hijack or try to hijack a sitting council person who happens to be the only woman on the council.
Right.
When there's other open spots you could be running for.
Right. But I think that we haven't learned anything about these sort of dynastic family groups and what they do when they come in. They're basically looking to indemnify their hold on power, mm-hmm. by preventing anyone that is not in that thought group from holding any significant power, so that they are able to go move unimpeded, unobstructed towards their goals,
mm-hmm.
right? Which is to make Tampa a place where there are two types of people: wealthy people who'd like to be served, and their servants. So what they really want is a serfdom. Now, all of that pomp and circumstance around, oh, look, it's the annual backpack giveaway where you get like a folder and a pencil.
Yeah.
In one of those 99-cent Dollar Tree bags. Now, I ain't trying to toot my own horn, but I will tell you, when BLM
did a backpack
drive, we went to the Hillsboro website, and we got the list of stuff that the county asks kids to have by grade.
Mm-hmm.
And we put those items in that bag. And they were Disney bags, and they were all kind of camel bags for the older kids.
Yeah.
We put scientific calculators. We fought to get those scientific calculators. And I want to thank Freddie Barton at Hillsboro Safe and Sound for making sure that we had, because the most expensive things in those bags was the 5-inch binders and the scientific calculators, and he made sure we were literally barricaded in my house. My husband couldn't move through the living room. He's like, what the hell's going on here? And then the Republicans were like, it's about time BLM does something nice.
Say what?
Okay, but it was okay though, because then they proceeded to send us exactly 2,000 backpacks. I still have, yes, and we couldn't get out, because when the Republicans gave their gift, and they were nice, we couldn't even get out of the living room. They just, one day, they just, boxes piled up to the ceiling on my front porch. They didn't even say they were sending them.
Wow.
This kid, Timmy Two-Turn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Him and his people decided they were going to barricade us in our house with backpacks for daring to actually do something useful. I've seen some things in this town.
All right. We have a message from Amina, who says, hey, it's Amina. She's having car trouble. She said, can you tell people to vote by, their vote by mail status is expired and they need to do it again for this election?
Right.
Good reminder. Yeah. You have to keep signing up for your vote by mail status.
Well, yeah, the state of Florida. So speaking of the state, did you have anything else you wanted to share with us before you run away? Okay.
Yeah.
I hope we'll see you soon.
Thank you, Rhonda Flowers from the Skill Center, for sitting in with us this morning and helping to read the emails. And we look forward to seeing you again soon.
Okay, bye.
Thank you.
So now listen, I want to shout out Craig Latimer, because he's a good guy. We were sitting next to him at Hamilton last week. Here's what I want to say about what's happening with voting. I told you guys I went to vote, and they told me, oh, your address doesn't match this. And here I have my voter registration card, because I moved from East Tampa to West Tampa. So my card was still in the little plastic thing, little perforated thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Still in there. And the guy, obviously Republican, said, ma'am, you're not going to be able to vote. Why? And he said, because your address on your license doesn't match. Well, I didn't see a point in changing the address on my license until it was time for me to, you know, renew my, right. you know, renew my license, which was coming up. I was going to get a whole new license. Mm-hmm. So I was like, what, am I committing a crime? I'm not committing a crime. I know they say 30 days, but who am I hurting? It's a victimless crime, right?
Yeah.
Just holding myself on the live radio. But he told me that I wouldn't be able to vote today, that he couldn't give me a ballot. Okay. This is why people vote by mail, right? This is exactly why people vote. So I said, sir, you have chosen the wrong person to try this with. Your test flight is going, you're going to not, this isn't going to age well. All right? So, and he was like, I said, I'm not going to argue with you, and I'm not going to stand up here and recite the Voting Rights Act to you, but I will tell you that I am absolutely the wrong person for you to try to disenfranchise this on this day. And so I just lost my mind. And I told him, I don't know where you came from, and you're a threat to democracy. Oh. And I just went in on him. So the lady came over, whoa, what's happening? What's happening? I said, he's trying to disenfranchise me. Like I hadn't done anything. And I was in full Black Karen mode.
There has to be an equivalent name for a Black Karen.
I would say it's a Charlotte.
Charlotte.
Mm-hmm. Or a Deborah.
Deborah.
It's a Deborah.
Yeah.
Right. Sorry, sister. That she would become the template. But I will say this, that I was in full Deborah mode. And the lady came over and was like, whoa, what was happening? And I said, I explained to her what was happening. And she says, oh, no, you're supposed to ask if they'd like to make any changes to their voter registration file. And if they say no, then you proceed with giving them their ballot. Now, that wasn't the first time this man heard
it. Oh, of course not.
Wasn't the first time. He knew it. But he was going to try to shave off as many votes as possible.
Dang.
Okay. This is happening in Craig Latimer's Tampa.
Yeah.
Okay. Craig Latimer's Hillsborough County. And Craig Latimer is a good guy. He's done a stellar job down there. He really has. So I have no critique for the work that Craig Latimer has done, except that we've got to train these people better. And whoever is the person that's responsible, there shouldn't have to be. So what they ended up doing was I called around to the people who were supposed to be election protection. Mm-hmm. Now, y'all know I don't have a reputation, especially in critical situations like this, of holding back. When you are on watch, and I take this seriously, I take my work seriously, not myself, my work. If your job is to make sure that the right to vote is protected, you better know the damn rules.
Right.
So when I started calling the people that I know who are responsible for election protection, they didn't know. I completely lost respect for that group. They didn't know. They didn't know what the rules were. And they started to actually sound like the guy. Well, you have to have your address. None of this is true. So the people who say that they're responsible for that, that little group of people who do election protection in Tampa, some of them are my friends. And Craig Latimer, however those people are being trained, there is a failure to communicate in there. And we need to rectify and change course.
Either that or people actually know the rules and are purposefully misapplying.
I think the guy at that desk was purposely misapplying because he was a smart guy. He understood everything I was saying. I think that the people who are doing election protection might be having more rumshadas than they are learning election protection, right? Those little soirees, right?
Yeah.
So I think that some of this has to do with the fact that these people have a lot of social hours, because there is no way in a place like Florida where every vote counts, where we lost Kimberly Overman, there is no way, man, that y'all don't know the rules. And when someone is being disenfranchised, you're wringing your hands for 3 hours until finally I called to Craig Latimer's office. It gets better. The 800-pound gorilla is sitting on my head now. I go home. I go on to West Palm Beach. That day I was going to work in West Palm Beach. I get in my car and I leave. A few hours later, my husband calls me. He says, they wouldn't let me vote. Now, he's his personality, right?
Yes.
He's a military guy. If the people in charge say you can't do it, then you can't do it, right? So he goes home and he goes back to work. and it's somewhere up in Brandon, and our voting location is off Rome in West Tampa.
Oh.
He goes back to work, and I'm on the phone. I said, okay, I'll call. So I call down there, and now remember, this happened to me at that same voting location that morning.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming they ran into the same guy who we know now was doing it on purpose because he understood the rules, but he was going to do it as much as he could. Well, the people downtown started asking me, why didn't we change our address? These are Craig Latimer's people.
Ain't none of your business why it is.
They don't know the rules. So what happened here is two things. The people downtown didn't know the rules who were at the Board of Elections. They're probably trained in a hurry for the hotline, you know, for that, for this day. You know, one of the workers, would you, on your voter registration, would you like to volunteer? Some of those individuals. The people in the polling places were deliberately disenfranchising. And the people who have made it their job to protect the right to vote for people in Hillsborough County didn't know the rules. That was a failure, not in one, not in two, but three areas. So we have to really look at this.
Systemic failure.
They don't want me to become the supervisor of elections.
You should be, though.
Man, I will be one day.
Awesome.
Yeah. I will be one day.
Yeah.
All right. So my final note about the Jane Castor / Janet Cruz situation is, imagine a mayor who does not want to have her power wrested from her by the city council having her actual mother-in-law on the city council to get her back when the city council is not going her way. I don't like that. I don't like relatives working together in any sort of government. And so, yeah.
Well, you saw what happened with Ivanka went and hid somewhere. She's trying to get as far away from that after she's taken all the juice.
Yeah, she took all the money. Take the money and run, girl. Yeah.
And now she's somewhere hiding and trying to remake herself. But it's a power move on the part of the Castor Cruz family. It's clear that people are afraid of them because no one is taking them on. I would have liked to have seen Bill Carson come forward. He came out a couple weeks ago and he said, I had no intention of ever running. I had thought about running for city council seat. Is he running for city council seat?
I don't know if he's up for election. I know Luis Fierro just filed to run again,
yeah,
and who else? Joe, can't think of the last name.
Yeah. Well, you made me think of Joe Exotic.
Ooh.
Maldonado. And I just want to run by that, like, because we understand we're going to continue to cover and we're going to bring in some politicos and continue to cover the Castor Cruz debacle, power grab there, right? And we're going to do it with as much bias as possible. This is not going to be unbiased journalism. I'm going to tell you that right now. Disabuse yourself of the nose, you boy.
I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. That is just wrong, period.
It hasn't worked. Didn't work with the Clintons. It didn't work with the Bushes. It didn't work in the White House with the Trump administration. It doesn't work. Whenever you do that, you're getting further away from democracy. You're getting further away from fair processes, right? So, Carol Baskins,
mm-hmm,
said there was a letter from the supposed Department of Homeland Security. They said it was blurry. You could barely see it. And it said that Don had been found alive in Costa Rica. I mean, if I was dead, I'd go to Costa Rica. And he, that was in the second season.
Yeah. Costa Rica's kind of known for having the dead people come down.
Right.
Yeah.
So they said that he had been found in Costa Rica, that they got a letter from the Department of Homeland Security. I think they actually named the person that sent the letter. But it was unclear, literally and figuratively, the letter and the circumstances in which he was found. I love to editorialize with humor, right? Especially about that. So she said that she wasn't aware of that until she saw it on the show. And it was probably just something thrown in by the producers to sensationalize it. But our dear sheriff says it ain't happened.
Well,
Chronister said no such of the thing took place, and that they are doing something with that case at least every day.
Now, yeah. Now that the Tiger King went viral and all that kind of stuff, they weren't doing anything about it before. So, I mean, I would be surprised at this point that they could even make a case because it's been so long.
Yeah, so the Chief Chronister said that's not a thing. That they don't have any of that information, and that as far as they're concerned, Don's not on the lam. He's gone, and they're going to figure out what happened to him.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So I just had to throw that in there.
Not going to hold my breath on that.
No. Yeah. Don't. Yeah. It's too late to get his DNA out of the meat grinder.
I don't think he ever was in the meat grinder, but because I think it's quite plausible that he did go to Costa Rica.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why would he leave without his money?
Well, that's the thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless he had a bunch stashed in Costa Rica. Or,
yeah, he could have.
Yeah.
Right.
Let's see. So we have some emails and texts. This one says, sound the alarm. There's another one says, hey, y'all, another great show as usual. Old white guy, slimy, and Rick Scott in the same sentence equals not surprised.
Right. Yeah. Non-shocker. Thank you, sir.
This one says, thanks for the inside scoop on so many topics. And then this one, let's see. This is from Rob, the friendly listening nurse. I'm also an election clerk in Sarasota County. The election official that made that statement was wrong, mm-hmm. and he should have known better.
Right, he did.
The last election cycle, state training drilled and re-drilled into our heads that we ask, is the information on the screen correct? If you would like to make changes to the address on the screen, we can. It has nothing to do with the address on your license. The license needs to be valid and the signature needs to match. But the address on the screen should be whatever address you live at. The only time you wouldn't be allowed to vote is if the information on the screen puts you in a different precinct, then we have to redistrict you.
Right.
To the proper precinct.
Right. Makes sense.
Case in point, if you used a passport, it would not have had your address, and you would still be allowed to vote
right.
as long as the information on the screen is correct.
Right.
Love the show, Rob. Thank you so much, Rob, both for being a nurse and for being an election
scholar.
Yeah.
And you know what? The whole purpose of the ID is not to verify your address. It is to match your signature.
Right. It's an identification thing.
And specifically the signature.
What?
Like, not even the picture, the signature. It could be like Bozo the Clown on there. They're supposed to be looking at the signature.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Clearly, the dude to whom you had a Deborah encounter was purposefully trying to disenfranchise you.
Yeah.
Speaking of disenfranchisement, oh my God, Rick Scott with his anti-woke nonsense. Now you can't.
Ron DeSantis.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
I know they're twins. Yeah. Twinsies. Twinsies.
Actually, I think DeSantis is
he's worse.
Worse, more evil. But yeah, DeSantis and his nonsensical anti-woke agenda. Now there's been a college-level African-American studies program that he's not allowing because it doesn't benefit, it doesn't contain beneficial information.
They shut down a play in Jacksonville, Duval County Schools, that was about a gay Jewish couple. They shut the show down.
Yeah, so we're living in censorship fascist times.
Amazing stuff.
Yeah.
Late stage capitalism ain't no joke, y'all.
Right. Well, and then we got people moving in here every day.
They said 400,000 people moved to Florida last year. 100,000 of them came to Hillsborough County.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man, that, yeah. Well, I mean, I guess there's money to be made. And I guess that's who is moving into all these expensive.
That's it.
Yeah.
They're going to price out the locals. That's the game.
Yeah.
I'm a Florida native. I'm starting to become proud of it because I'm like one of the last of the persuasion.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it's very distressing. But Thank you for listening to Surly Voices on WMNF Tampa 88.5. And listen up for NPR.